From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Contemporary art explores how we interact with the world around us, both as artists and as consumers of art. The downtown-based Utah Museum of Contemporary Art is headquarters for Utah's contemporary art scene. Today we'll talk with Christian Anderson, the new executive director of UMOCA, about the role of contemporary art in our downtown and larger community.
A society thrives when it has a knowledgeable, thoughtful, and engaged citizenry that looks at issues from a nuanced point of view from all sides and then makes informed decisions. And I think that we are a part of that decision-making process.
All of this after the news from the BBC. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my friend, Christian Anderson. Christian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Christian is the new executive director for the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art. You've been on the job how long?
3 months. I arrived on Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, how romantic. Thanks for coming.
My wife was in Seattle, so I don't know if she thought the same thing, but yeah, it was a heck of a day.
It was a heck of a day. Well, we're delighted that you're here, delighted for what you're bringing to the Museum of Contemporary Art. I think maybe for some listeners, it would be helpful to start out talking about what is contemporary art, because that's a question that I don't know that I know the answer to, and I've been on your board before. So share with us, what is contemporary art?
Sure. I've been in the contemporary art business for a while now, and I don't know that I have the answer, but I have an answer that sort of guides my view of the museum and how I look at contemporary art.
That works for me.
Contemporary art isn't so much about what an object looks like, but it's a lot more about what is the message or the intellectual content behind it. So not so much what it is, but what it does.
Okay.
That being said, contemporary art can be beautiful. It can be an amazing technical virtuosity, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
That's not the primary goal.
That's not the primary goal. So we really are looking at showing work in our institution that pushes people to critically think about who they are in today's contemporary society, how they fit in a engaged global citizenry. Right now we have an exhibition up that's called In Motion, and it's really looking at the interplay of the culture between the U.S. and Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
And so really getting people to think about what is a border beyond just a line in the dirt, as it were, but what does it cause? How does it dictate that cultural give and take? So really, what is the message and how are these artists approaching that question?
So what are some of the examples? How have artists approached that question? What are, two or three examples from this specific exhibit
Sure. That
think about that border?
Sure. There was an artist who created a work, and there was a performance component that happened last Friday at our opening, named Caleb Duarte, and he was really interested in how the border sort of divides families and in how immigration policy divides families.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, if you will, a tall white wall. Extending from that wall at about hip height were two dirt fields that were each about a foot deep. And he created holes where he literally buried two people looking in at each other at this wall, which represents the border of U.S.
Sure.
and Mexico, who are being deported in a month. They're in the process right now of being deported. So one is leaving the United States and going back to Mexico, and the other, her sister, is here. And so really sort of making tangible and very visible and visceral that disruption in family life.
So it's about the experience and the emotion and the contextualization of those experiences and emotion to send a message or to tell a story, almost a narrative.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair categorization of how, because I think, many people think of art and it's more traditional art. And there's lots of different kinds of art. There's performing art, there's
Sure.
visual art, there's all those kinds of things. But if I'm understanding correctly, really contemporary art is more about this narrative, about explaining things, about how these art pieces relate to the world, how they help the viewer and the artist think about things.
Absolutely. It doesn't necessarily have to be as specific as something like a border. I feel like sometimes you know, we're also exploring what it is to be human mm-hmm. in today's society. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes love and hate are a little low-hanging fruits, sure. but the one that I'm always interested in is the German word Schadenfreude, which is this concept of the delight that we take in sort of seeing the suffering of other people.
It is possibly my most favorite emotion.
It's a very powerful emotion. And so how do you take something like that and not so much put it into words, but put it into a physical form of, you know, seeing, you know, someone who did you wrong, trip on the street, whatever it happens to be. We don't wish people ill, but there's still that secret glee that we get. So, I mean, contemporary art can really sort of deal with some of these darker sides of our existence that we don't like to admit we have.
So what is the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art? I mean, what, for people who've never been there mm-hmm. before, maybe describe what the experience is like and why people might want to come to the museum.
Absolutely. Well, we're easy to access. We're just on the north end of the Salt Palace, kitty corner from the Temple in Temple Square.
Right by Abravanel Hall.
Right by Abravanel Hall and City Creek. So easy parking, easy to get into. And we're a suggested donation museum, which means, you know, you can pay as much as you or as little as you want. So money should not be a barrier to coming in. At any given time, we have four different exhibition halls of varying sizes that are going to be tackling, you know, different issues. Sometimes they're linked together thematically and sometimes not. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to come down and spend an hour or two when you're going to City Creek or Nordstrom, or before you go to a show at Abravanel Hall, and come and check out some stuff that hopefully makes you think critically about you know, your place in today's society.
And it's been around for really a long time. This museum, it used to be called the Salt Lake Art Center.
Correct.
Changed the name a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But pretty kind of a storied history in our community.
Absolutely. So the organization is 83 years old.
Wow.
It started out in the art barn closer to the university and moved down to our current location in 1979. And as you said, a couple years ago, we changed from the Salt Lake Art Center to the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art to reflect a mission and vision change, in that we were really sort of highlighting these works that do make people think critically mm-hmm. on supporting the local arts community, engaging the local arts community, showing the local arts community, while also bringing in national and international voices so that the local arts community can react and grow based on that.
Right. In addition to sort of the gallery space that you have a lot of other programs. It's not just about the on-site space at the gallery. There's lots of other things you guys are doing.
Absolutely. We have a ton of educational programs. One of our most visible is our art truck, which travels around and brings art education, especially to underserved populations all along the Wasatch Front. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to expand that to be a statewide program. We have Family Art Saturdays, where parents are encouraged to come in with their children and interact with them in cooperative projects to learn more about the exhibitions. We have fantastic programs that you might not know about. Easy to Love, Hard to Raise, which is art programs that are specifically geared towards children with learning disabilities or autism, where families can come in a comfortable, a comfortable setting before the museum opens and really have an art experience where you don't have to worry about the quote unquote, you know, being quiet or these sort of unwritten museum rules.
Right. And I would emphasize this, it's great for kids. I mean, not all of your exhibits. I think once in a while you have an exhibit that maybe isn't a great kid-friendly mm-hmm. exhibit. But my son has gone to the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art lots of times.
Sure.
And really been interested in and challenged by and thought about. And it's a great way to start conversations with your kids, because there's something that'll be compelling about the art that presents an opportunity to talk about immigration. And, you know, not every 11-year-old wants to talk about immigration, but you can talk about, well, how would it feel if our family got separated, and what might that be like, and why? How would we react to that? Mm-hmm. And lots of other opportunities like that from art that we've seen at the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Absolutely. You know, kid-friendly or family-friendly, that's a decision that I think a lot of times that parents need to make, or, mm-hmm. or teachers. We as an organization don't go out of our way to do, you know, shock for shock's sake or right. controversy for controversy's sake. That being said, you know, we live in a very complex world that's tackling incredibly difficult social issues where there isn't agreement, and it is the duty of an organization like ours to present those discussions. Mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as not taking a particular side, but creating a space for dialogue. And sometimes that dialogue will be between families, parents and children. Sometimes it will be bringing in experts and having a panel discussion.
Right.
But really, it is a nexus for creating dialogue around really complex social issues.
What are your hours, so people know? Because I don't remember. Are you still open Mondays?
We're not open Sundays or Mondays.
Okay.
We're open 11 to 6 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 11 to 9 on Friday, and then 11 to 6 again on Saturday.
Okay, cool. So a little bit later night on Friday.
Yep.
Yeah. If you'll just share your website with people so that they know where to go for more information.
It is www.utahmoca.org.
You've got a big fundraiser coming up.
I do.
The annual gala, the Diamond Horseshoe Roundup. Maybe you could share with listeners sort of what that entails and also a little bit more about how you're funded, because it is a private entity.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are a 501c3. And our annual gala is our biggest fundraising event of the year. So it's a ticketed event. You can find out information on how to acquire tickets on our website. Again, that's www.utahmoca.org. So people can expect a fantastic evening with a Diamond Horseshoe Roundup theme. There's going to be a live band.
What is the Diamond Horseshoe Roundup theme?
I've been told it's contemporary country chic.
Okay.
I grew up in Minnesota, so I don't exactly know what contemporary country chic. For me, that's a snowmobile suit. Maybe bedazzled.
Maybe
I don't think.
You should come in a bedazzled snowmobile suit.
But there's a band, Whiskey Fish, that's going to be playing. We've got some great food and beverages. And there are options to acquire art and fantastic packages, both in a silent auction and a live auction. 50 local artists have agreed to participate, and they've all made works that are roughly 12 by 12. Hmm. And so there's a silent auction for those. Actually, the bidding for that is open right now because we're using mobile bidding this year, so you can bid from your mobile device or your tablet, your cellular phone.
Very
and
cool.
So people can check that out on the website, and if there's a work they like, they can jump in and start bidding today.
Oh, very cool. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we are going to take a quick break for some messages. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the mission of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, what is slated for the next few seasons, what's going to be coming up, and why you might have an interest in becoming more involved with Utah's contemporary art scene. The guest today is Christian Anderson, Executive Director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, and we'll continue our conversation with Christian after these messages. We are back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Today, we're talking with Christian Anderson. Christian is the new executive director for the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art. Christian, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe you can share with the listeners a little bit about why you came to Utah, what your interests were in this particular position, what your background was, and what led you to come to our state to help lead our contemporary art museum.
Well, before I came here to be the executive director of UMOCA, I was the executive director of a 501c3 called the Association of Academic Museums and Galleries, which is an organization that does advocacy and sets standards and best practices for places like the Natural History Museum mm-hmm. or the Utah Museum of Fine Arts.
And this was in Seattle?
This was in Seattle. We were a national organization, but I just was based in Seattle.
Okay.
So, it was a job that I could have done anywhere, but
right.
Seattle was home. And that was a fantastic job, and I worked with great people all over the country and actually internationally. But what I realized that I missed was, I had come from running a gallery space, and you're really thinking about the objects, you're curating visions, and I missed that side of it. And so there's a lot of times in your life that you don't know what it is that you're really passionate about a job until that particular piece is taken away from you.
Right.
So it was a fantastic lesson that I'm really interested in how the objects create a story, create a narrative that affects society. One of my friends told me about this position at the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art when it opened up, and I had been here for a conference and
right.
had a fantastic time downtown Salt Lake City, because downtown Salt Lake City is awesome.
We're getting there. We're rocking. We're getting there.
And I sort of took it as a sign that it was the right time to apply. And
cool.
And when I came here, I met a fantastic group of people. It was an amazing staff. It was an engaged board. I had a fantastic visit and just knew that it was the right thing.
Well, we are delighted to have you here. I was on the board for a time and just really feel good about your decision to come, and think you've made great contributions already, and we know
Thank you.
There's even more ahead that we can look forward to. I wanted to talk a little bit about community programming. In the past, sometimes UMOCA has done community programming. Listeners may remember the Play Me, I'm Yours exhibit, where Yumoka brought down dozens of pianos, artist-decorated pianos. This is an exhibit that's been throughout the country and lots of other cities, but Yumoka really spearheaded this. And I'm interested in sort of your philosophy about community programming and getting outside of sort of the walls of the museum.
Well, I think it's important to realize that to enjoy an institution like Yumoka, you don't have to be an art aficionado or expert. Every person's experience with an exhibition or work is valid. Yeah. And I think that sometimes we have set up a hierarchy where there's experts, art critics, or curators that know the way to look at something. And I'm sort of fundamentally opposed to that model. I think that curators and critics lend a particular voice and a particular narrative, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the narrative. People can certainly trust their own gut and their own experiences, and I really encourage them to do so. But absolutely, when you look at the history of museums, it's great that Yumoka has spearheaded moving outside of the walls. Mm-hmm. When people say museum, and especially art museum, they often think of this Carnegie Library-esque thing with pillars and marble.
Kind of stodgy, kinda, maybe not as interesting. Yeah.
And they don't have windows for preservation reasons because light deteriorates art, but they're not a terribly outward-looking organization. They're sort of an inward,
insular,
expert-based organization. So I think that moving outside of those walls, the Art Truck is one of those programs that sort of gets art out to people, is critical. This summer, we're doing a program that's called Eat Art, and it's going to be bringing art out to some of the community gardens along the Wasatch Front, where we're partnering with artists to create functional works that aid in the way that the community garden runs, be it an irrigation system or a chicken coop or a beehive or whatever it happens to be. So they're really thinking about how the art can interact and make the community garden experience better. And we're actually going to be putting some community garden beds down in our plaza.
Not only going out to the community, but then bringing aspects of the community back into the museum. Mm-hmm. I have a personal interest always in seeing elements of our community that don't always work well together, coming together and finding common ground and thinking about things more holistically. And I was so pleased when you told me about this exhibit that you're planning. Maybe you can just share with people sort of what you're thinking about and what you're moving on with.
Sure. I can't share the finals because there's still a lot of details that need to be worked out. But next year, we'll be working on an exhibition that's called Church versus State. And what it's really doing is looking at the contemporary collecting practice of the LDS Church History Museum and the state of Utah. Two organizations that have a tremendous impact on the culture of the state. I grew up as a Unitarian in Minnesota. So I'm moving to Salt Lake. I think it's been a fantastic experience to sort of get to know the culture. I've had a great experience with the people that I've met who are LDS Church representatives, and the Church History Museum has been a fantastic partner that's excited to do this. One of the things that I'm interested in is not only sort of these cultures that sort of govern the lives of people in the state of Utah, whether you're an LDS Church member or not, but also thinking about how the concept of collecting affects the creation and display of art that you see in galleries or what artists are producing. The hand of the economy moves taste, and taste moves the hand of the economy back and forth. There's an interaction there. So I think really making sort of those systems visible is fascinating to me. So there's a sort of a multi-layer of issues that I'm interested in tackling with it.
Well, it's I think one example of a lot of really great things that you're doing. We talked before the break a little bit about how you're funded, but maybe you could share, in addition to the Western Chic Diamond Horseshoe Roundup. And I don't know that we ever said the date for that, so that's coming up next
June
month.
7th.
June 7th is the Diamond Horseshoe Roundup. Tickets available on your website?
Correct. www.utahmoca.org.
Excellent. And it's a great party. I have attended in the past, really a very fun event, a great way to support art. But you also rely on a lot of other donations.
Absolutely. We are supported by the suggested donations of the people that come through the door, through the generous grant support of foundations and granting agencies, many of which are names that you would recognize around town, corporate contributors and individual donors. But we love it when people come and give us compliments for our organization, and we really love it when people become members or donate to our organization because, putting on these exhibitions and these programs does cost money.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it. I think that what you're doing, the work you're doing, really helps to affect the quality of life for people around the community. But you're not a for-profit venture. You're not selling art necessarily.
Nope.
You're not a gallery space. You really are presenting this to help people think more deeply about their own lives, more deeply about the community that they live in. So it's really a community benefit that you're providing and doing it without a lot of taxpayer expense. I think you get some ZAP money, but it's really not a government entity that you're running. It's really this nonprofit that's just doing good work and helping to improve the community.
I'm glad you brought up ZAP, because moving in from a different town here and learning about the ZAP program, I don't know if your listeners are aware of what a fantastic program ZAP is. ZAP stands for Zoos, Arts, and Parks, and it is a very small, like one tenth of one penny.
Yeah, it's a very tiny portion.
And it does a lot of good for a lot of organizations, not just my own, but others in town. And so, so thank you, ZAP. And thank you, the citizens of Salt Lake County, because you're really the ones that are helping with that.
Yeah, ZAP. Hard to say enough good about ZAP. I think it's actually going to go up for renewal this year, mm-hmm. and something that we'll be talking about a lot, because it does provide such great funding for Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, Hogel Zoo, mm-hmm. Downtown Alliance. Lots and lots of entities mm-hmm. receive a great benefit from what the Salt Lake County is able to do with Zoo Arts and Parks. And we appreciate mm-hmm. Vicki and Mayor McAdams and all the folks at Salt Lake County who helped to administer that program. It's important. As we kind of wrap up, I wondered if you wanted to share any last words with people about what they should know about UMOCA and why they should care about UMOCA and why they should come and visit UMOCA.
I guess the answer to all of those is that a society thrives when it has a knowledgeable, thoughtful, and engaged citizenry that looks at issues from a nuanced point of view from all sides and then makes informed decisions. And I think that we are a part of that decision-making process. You get a lot of information from news. You get a lot of information from poetry, from music. Art is a unique way of putting into an experience, you know, very difficult and nuanced issues with being a contemporary citizen in a complex society. So I would really encourage everyone to come down and sort of expand your point of view and not only engage with our organization, other arts organizations, register to vote, you know, think critically about how you fit into a greater society.
Well, and really get into the game.
Yeah, get into the game.
But do it thoughtfully.
Correct.
Christian, thank you so much for joining us here today, but also for moving your family here and heading up this important cultural institution. We really appreciate your work.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 o'clock, where we talk about the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center.